Bless you in the Lord's service. Just one text of scripture, it's already been quoted by our brother Alan a little earlier, that's found in 1 Timothy 1:15, and that's all I have for you this evening is a text of scripture. We do, in the will of God, hope to finish here at about 7 o'clock, and then we'll head over for a light supper, and the ladies will no doubt be setting the oven by my timing, which should mean burnt mince pies and tea stewed to the limit. Hopefully it'll not be the case. Just a text of scripture. It's always good to finish off with the word of God. And that text of scripture is found in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, where we read these words: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let's keep our Bibles open and our finger upon that text of scripture, and we'll ask God's help in the ministry of the gospel. Loving Father, we thank thee for thy presence this evening. We thank thee for those who have taken part, Lord, those who have helped in any way with this service. We do rejoice, Lord, in the sense of the divine presence through today. We thank thee, Lord, that even though this time of the year there's tiredness and there's weariness and there's so many distractions in this world, yet we thank thee that we can pause to remember the reason for the season, that as our text suggests, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul said, of whom I am chief. And we pray, Lord, you will bless this gospel message on the very eve of Christmas Day as we focus our attention upon Christ Jesus our Lord, as we realize, O God, the need for a Savior from our sin. We pray, Lord, that thy Spirit will come, convict and convert the soul, bring precious souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear our earnest and sincere prayer, and grant to me, O God, I pray, the infilling of thy Spirit with wisdom and with power. Bring, O God, all things to my remembrance. And as we close out this gospel meeting, I pray, Lord, for that infilling and that anointing of the Holy Ghost that will enable me to preach Christ and him crucified. I ask these things now, giving thanks in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. You know, we live in a world that tells us that God does not care, even those who believe in God, that God does not care about the creatures that he has made. He doesn't care about creation. Some people tell us that the Lord is indifferent to all that is going on in this world. There are individuals who are liberal in their theology, and they believe that God has handed the world over to the devil, and that he is the prince of the power of the air. That's true scripturally. That he is the god of this world that blinds the minds of them that believe not. That's true scripturally. But God is still in control. God is still sovereign in the works of his creation and among his creatures. And I want to tell you, no matter what the world says, no matter what society believes, no matter what liberal theology or philosophy that's going about in these days, I want to tell you there's a God in heaven who is the creator of the ends of the earth, and he has a care, and he does love his creatures that he has made. And when we read a text of scripture like this, when we take this verse to heart, it really is a declaration of God's love for us as sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world. Have you ever thought of what the Lord said himself? If I had not come. The Lord said that in John's gospel. He actually said these words to the Pharisees. If I had not come. You ever think what kind of world we would be living in? I don't believe for one moment, if Christ had not come, there would be a hospital for the sick. I don't believe there would be emergency services. I don't believe for one moment there would be a police force. I don't believe there would be a teaching profession. I don't believe that there would be public transport to help people get from A to B. I don't believe there would be kindness in the earth. The earth would literally annihilate itself and destroy God's creation. Man's depravity is restrained by Almighty God. Man's morality and standard of morality is restrained by the preaching of the gospel, by the prayers of the saints, and the lifting up of Christ. And Christ says, if I had not come, we would be living in a world that doesn't care. We would be living in a world that has no love. But I want to tell you, Christ has come. And a text like this gives us hope. It brings good news and cheer. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I want you to get the text tonight. It is, I believe, God in grace declaring, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God in mercy to a lost mankind says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God in all of his goodness proclaims to a world that has no hope, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God in his infinite kindness and in his eternal goodness proclaims and asserts, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so I want you to get the text tonight, and I want to repeat it again until you are sick, sore, and tired of me repeating it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I believe the Lord wants you to get the text tonight. Christ Jesus, did you hear that? Came into the world, did you hear that? To save sinners, did you hear that? Of whom Paul said, I am chief. You say to me, get to the text, hurry up. I'm getting to the text now, but I want you to get the text before me. The Lord wants you to get the text tonight. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, in order for the Lord to get you the text and get the text to you, I need to break it down for you in order that you might understand the text. There are four things that I want to leave with you very briefly in this final meeting. I want you to think, first of all, that in this text, a wonderful person is mentioned. A wonderful person is mentioned. Christ Jesus. I want to tell you, he is wonderful in his person. For when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as a babe born in Bethlehem and laid in those swaddling clothes in the manger, this was God manifest in the flesh. You've got to see that. He cannot be our Savior. He cannot save us from sin, death, and eternal hell unless he is God and unless he is a man. And it has to be the God-man, no holy angel. No highest archangel, not even Gabriel, not even Michael, the only two angels that have been given names in Holy Scripture, could ever leave heaven and to save a lost mankind. There's not a man or a woman, there's no one in all of God's creation that could ever be a Savior, that could fully represent all the interests of God, and yet at the same time represent all the interests of the fallen sons and daughters of Adam's sinful race. And the only person in all of God's creation that fits the bill is the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I say to you, there is a wonderful person mentioned in the text. And he's wonderful in his person because he is God. Jesus Christ is God. The Muslims reject that Jesus Christ is God. They fail to see the true humanity of Christ. We have listened to them. We have heard them argue against Christians. And sadly, Christians do not know their Bible. And therefore they cannot defend the deity of Christ. The Muslims center on his humanity. And they reject his deity. And when Christ is spoken of in his humanity, he's spoken as a true person, a real man. I want to tell you, if you were to take a man now, and I'm going to not look around here for men who have got beards, and you were to take your hand and rip off the hair of their face, listen to me. The same pain that you would feel, Christ actually felt that pain. If you were to take a whip and lay bare a person's back, a human being, you or me, right now, and your back was lacerated and scourged the way Christ was, I'm telling you, you know the pain that you would actually feel? Christ felt the same pain. He was truly human, yet he was God, manifest in the flesh. Now, how big was sin? How enormous was the debt mankind owed to God, that God himself had to leave the realms of glory? And the second person of the triune Jehovah God of Israel had to enter into a virgin's womb, and Christ's sinless humanity was protected by the virgin birth. And that's why we uphold the fundamental doctrine of the virgin birth of our Savior. It protected sinlessly perfect his human nature, conceived in the womb of Mary by the supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit of God. We could never fully understand it. We could never comprehend it. But all we know is this, that that little child laid in a manger in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago was deity clothed in our humanity. It is the God-man. And as such, he can represent all the interests of Almighty God, all the holiness and righteousness and justice of a holy God. Christ alone can represent the interests of Almighty God. But he also is man, and therefore he can represent the interests of the fallen sons and daughters of Adam's sinful race. And he is the God-man, the perfect Savior. Who would have thought up the gospel? Who could have designed the gospel? What human mind would have the wisdom to design the gospel? That God himself would enter into our history and into our humanity and be born as a babe and then die on the cross as the God-man, as the mediator, as the redeemer, as the savior for our sins. I tell you, friend, he who created this entire earth, the one who formed the universe, the one who upholds it by the word of his power, stepped from the realms of glory, entered into the virgin's womb, was born as a man and dwelt amongst men, the God-man, all for the suffering of death. He's not only wonderful in his person, he's wonderful in his passion. For this is he who went the whole way to Calvary. You see, when we call him Savior, we call him by his name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? He shall save his people from their sins. And that's exactly what he did on the cross. He was the sinner's substitute. He who was born in Bethlehem, grew into manhood, lived a sinlessly perfect life, and then gave himself into the hands of cruel and wicked men. They crowned him with thorns. They ripped the hair from off his face. They lacerated his back. They spat upon him. They slapped him with their hands. They took a reed and a crown, and they clothed him in purple, and they bowed the knee, and they slapped him and mocked him, and they beat him and bruised him. He was wounded. And then on the cross of Calvary, he was lifted up, suffering for our sins, taking our sins' punishment, bearing its eternal penalty, suffering our hell because he suffered the eternal thirst. The blackness of darkness fell upon Christ. I tell you, God punished all of the sins of all who repent and believe. He's wonderful not only in his person and in his passion. He's wonderful in his pardon because Christ rose from the dead. He is now the justifier. That is, he pardons the guilty. And he is also the just one, the one who has satisfied every legal requirement of God's law. And now he can be the justifier of all that repent and believe. And he's wonderful in his pardon. He died to put away all of our sins, not some of them. He died to cleanse us from our sins. He suffered for all of those sins. And if you, as a guilty sinner, come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, I tell you this, he will pardon you. He will forgive you. And he will save your soul. He'll put away your sin. No matter what sin that is, no matter what your you're guilty of, and you don't have to confess it to men. You just tell the Lord. And I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. He's wonderful in His power. There's not a man or a woman or a young person that's too hard and the Lord cannot save. There's no one too bad, but the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse and the grace of God can bring near. I want to tell you, my friend, there's a wonderful person in the text. Can I say secondly and very quickly, there's not only a wonderful person mentioned in the text, but there's a wicked place that's mentioned here. Christ Jesus came into the world. Now, what a world we're living in. A world that is depraved. A world that's defiled and corrupt. It is a very dangerous world for a child to be born into. It was dangerous for the Christ child because Herod the Great, so-called, who put all the children under 2 years of age to death in Bethlehem in order to wipe out what he thought would be a rival, because Herod took the title. Did you know that? Herod took the title King of the Jews. He was called King Herod. He was a self-imposed king. He was not of royal stock, and he could never be the King of the Jews. Do you know why? Because he was from the tribe. He was from the tribe of Edom. He was an Edomite. He was a descendant of Esau. That was a cursed descendant. It had to be of the line of Jacob, not Esau. And Herod was of the line of Edom or Esau. And therefore he could never be a ruler. And he could never be a leader. And he could never be king of the Jews. But he believed that he was Herod the Tetrarch, the ruler of Judea, the King of the Jews. And whenever this imposter, as he supposed, came on the scene, first of all, he thought it was John the Baptist. No, he did not, because it's not the same Herod. Herod Antipas is the one that put his grandson, that put John the Baptist to death. It was Herod that killed the children. Herod that murdered the little babies. It was Herod, the so-called great. And what a wicked world the Lord was born into. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Have a look at the world today, friends. Hand someone a gospel tract. They'll take it and they'll rip it up in your face. They'll spit on it. They'll throw it in the trash can. Some will even just blank you. If you speak to them about God, they have little or no time. Such is the human nature. And yet, I want to tell you, my friend, to this world, Jesus Christ came. He could have left the world in sin. Our sister was singing in that song, O Holy Night. The world was in error and sin and error pining. And that's so true. And yet, Christ Jesus came into this world. And people say he doesn't care. He could have left this world without a Savior, without hope, without cheer, without a message for us to proclaim. He could have left us in our sin, and we'd have died in our sin and perished in hell. He could have left us to ourselves. He could have abandoned the world. He could, or he could have destroyed it if he wanted to, as he did in the days of Noah, apart from 8 souls. God could have burned the earth up, as he will at his second coming. But rather than condemn the world, the Bible says God so loved the world. Isn't it beautiful? That he gave his only begotten Son, that is, he sent him to die on the cross for our sins, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ Jesus came into the world, but sadly the world rejected him. Are you? They falsely accused him. They mocked his claim to be king, placed a crown of thorns on his head and upon his lovely brow. They battered and bruised and wounded the body of Christ, and that sinless, spotless body then was taken and spiked to an old Roman gibbet. It was lifted up between heaven and earth and suspended between a holy God and sinful mankind. And I like to think of it like this. Christ reconciled a holy God to sinful, fallen man. You think of Christ on the cross, and I know some people will say Christ was crucified with his hands down, but we think of the cross. Christ outstretched, there in one hand. Remember, he's the God-man. He has all the interests of a holy God in one hand. All the just demands of God's righteous law that condemns us and will damn our soul in hell because we have broken that law, and it carries a penalty. And there's an offense of our sin that cannot be paid for by ourselves. And in one hand, Christ represents all the interests of a holy God. He lives a sinlessly perfect life for us. He fulfills the righteousness of the law for us. He lives his life in full harmony and conformity to the law of God as a perfect man. And yet on the other hand, Christ has sinful, fallen creatures of Adam's wicked race. And they're in his hand. Christ has rebellious creatures, sinful men and women. In one hand, a holy God who must punish sin. And in the other hand, sinful men who must be punished for their sin. And what does he do? He reconciles a holy God to sinful fallen man in the body on his cross. When he pays the price, when he sheds his blood, when he gives himself a sacrifice and finishes the work of redemption and rises from the dead in order that you and I might be saved. There's a wonderful person in our text. There's a wicked place mentioned in the text. Thirdly, very quickly, there's a wayward people mentioned in the text. Notice what it says. Christ Jesus, a wonderful person, came into the world, a wicked place, to save sinners, a wayward people. You see, he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord said, looking at the Pharisees, "They that be whole need not a physician." It doesn't mean that they were just and good and right, no. It meant that they thought they were good and they didn't need a savior. And there might be someone here tonight and someone listening online, and maybe that's how you think. I don't need to be saved. I'm good enough. Don't you try and tell me that I am a sinner. I don't believe that. I believe I'm a good person. I believe I can get to heaven. Why? Because you're a good person. The Bible says this. Listen, not me, the Bible, not the Free Church, not the Brethren Assembly long before us. The Bible says there's none good but one, that is God. None good. Think of it. Are you an exception to that rule? The Bible puts a circle around us all, doesn't it? You know what it says? For there is no difference. Why make a difference? There is no difference for all. Not some, not most, not many. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born sinners. We're sinners by birth, we're sinners by practice, and we will die sinners unless our sins are forgiven. We find peace with God through the blood of his cross. A wayward people is mentioned to save sinners. You see, when Christ came into the world, they gave him the name Jesus, which is the Old Testament name Joshua, Jehovah the Savior. And when you call him Savior, you call him by his name, for he shall save his people from their sins. I wonder tonight, is he your savior? You'll receive gifts tomorrow. Some of my family have exchanged gifts already today, and gifts have already been given out by this congregation. But I want to tell you, have you received the free gift of God's salvation? It's not wrapped up in tinsel and fine paper and ribbons, but in swaddling bands and laid in a manger. And then on the cruel cross of Calvary, Christ gave himself. And when he rose from the dead, he offers freely to all who will receive, all who repent, all who will turn, all who will come, all who will accept the free gift. If I was standing at the door tonight and I had £50 in my hand and I just handed them to every single person as you're leaving this church and said to you, would you take that as a gift from me? I guarantee you, there might be one or two. And especially, I was going to say farmers, but I'm not going to offend you. I'm going to say businessmen, so I'll offend them tonight. And they would be a wee bit wary. Nobody gives away money free. This has got to be a counterfeit. But if I was to say to you, it's not a counterfeit. There's the machine. Look, there's the ultraviolet. It's real. And I offered it to you now, at the door, every single man, woman, young person, boy and girl, £50. Would you take it? There's a smile over there anyway. I guarantee you'll take it. So treasurer, get the money out and I'll hand them out at the door. But what about God's salvation tonight? God stands at the door and he's offering free salvation. There's no counterfeit. It's the real thing. Many of us have already received it and we thank the Lord for it. But will you take it? That's all you've got to do. You don't have to climb a mountain in your bare feet. You don't have to give any more money to the church. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to say a string of prayers. I want to tell you, friend, listen to me. Just come as a sinner Acknowledge your sin. You cannot save yourself. Believe that Christ died for you and rose again from the dead, and just come as a sinner to the Lord. Finally, and I know I've gone slightly over my time, but finally, there is a wise position mentioned in the text. Look what it says. Christ Jesus, a wonderful person, came into the world, a wicked place, to save sinners, a wayward people. And then there's a wise position of whom I am chief. You see, friend, you'll never be saved unless you first acknowledge that you're a sinner. You can never be in heaven unless you confess your sin and repent of those sins. And repentance is not a work that deserves salvation or mercy. It's a grace. Repentance is a grace. It's a saving grace that brings you into the experience of what Christ has already accomplished and done and finished for us at Calvary. And tonight, if you will take the sinner's place, will you do that? Can I just speak to you now? You know, friends, I may never see you again. We don't know what tomorrow holds. There's no guarantee that we will get our Christmas dinner tomorrow. There's not. There's no guarantee that you will leave this house tonight. None. But for the mercy of God. And if we never meet and we never see each other again, young person, older person, let me ask you this. Do you acknowledge that you're a sinner? Do you? Do you believe that you are a sinner? If you say, preacher, I do. Well, do you believe that you cannot save yourself? Yes, I believe that with all my heart. I cannot save my own soul. I know that. Do you believe that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners? I do. I believe the text. I believe the truth. I believe he's God manifest in flesh. I believe he's the only Savior, the only way, the door. I believe all that, preacher. Well, that's good. So does the devil. But he's not saved. You see, it's more than just an acknowledgement and a mental assent to truth. The Bible says, as many as received him. Did you get that? You've got to take Christ as your Savior. You've got to come as a sinner and ask him into your heart and into your life to be your Savior. And the free gift is offered tonight. Will you come? Will you take Christ? I leave the text with you. May the Spirit of God back at home bless it and burn it into your heart. Christ Jesus, a wonderful person, came into the world, a wicked place, to save sinners, a wayward people, and a wise position, of whom I am chief. Take the sinner's place. Repent, believe, and receive Christ as your Savior. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy word to our hearts. We thank thee for this day and thy presence with us. We thank thee for those who have helped, Lord, with the program this evening, those who have gathered. And as we take, Lord, our journey to the church hall or even home, we pray you'll come with us and go before us, and you'll bless us richly. Take of our thanks for good things provided, and as we eat and drink to thine honour and glory, we pray you'll bless us afterward. Watch over us during the Christmas term. Keep our young people safe. Watch over our children and our homes. Bless our family gatherings, and grant that in all things we will acknowledge Christ in all our ways. We pray you'll save souls tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Could I take this opportunity just to thank the congregation for your kindness to myself and my family over the Christmas period, for the many cards that we received and the various gifts to the manse and to ourselves. We do appreciate that as a family, and we would just like to say a big thank you to the congregation, and we trust the Lord will bless you and give you a very happy and a healthy and a peaceful Christmas with your family, and above all, let's not leave the Lord out of our celebrations. Make your way over, please, to the hall, and I think it's a buffet service, so you just go and clear the table. No, just take as much as the plate will hold, and if you need any more, you can come back the second time. There's a big crowd. If we all stay, it'll be enough for us all. But please make your way over to the church hall for some light refreshments. Thank you.